So, you know, I love to teach on the book of Revelation, and so this actually comes from Revelation chapter 1, and the book of the revelation of Jesus Christ, that is the title of that book. It means what it says. It is not the book of the revelation of the Antichrist or the mark of the beast, even though those things exist and are there. It is the revelation of Jesus Christ. Amen. And one of the most powerful things that he states in chapter 1, and verse 8 is where it begins, and he says, "I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, says the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty." And so I love what's in your bulletin. Bob asked me if I had a verse for the bulletin, and I gave him that verse, and then all that you put in there after that was so awesome. That was great. I appreciate. So read your bulletin as well. It'll help you. It's so powerful because what we're about to discover, what's interesting about the book of the Revelation of Jesus Christ is, like I said, it does exactly that. It reveals him, and we know him as Christians. We're so used to the Lamb of God, which takes away the sins of the world. We're used to that aspect of him. But the book of the Revelation of Jesus Christ shows us another side of him. And that's the side that we cringe at, and the world will absolutely cringe at. And what we're going to discover today is the Alpha. And so that's where we're going to go and unlock some of these things. So in Revelation chapter 1, verse 11, he again says, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last." I missed something there in my notes. I wanted to let you know, he makes reference to this title of being Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending. He makes reference four times in this first chapter. And so any time that the Lord, it's a good rule to follow, is any time that he repeats something, if he repeats it twice, you need to pay attention. If he repeats it four times, then it must be something important. And in fact, this is not the only time in the book of the Revelation of Jesus Christ that he mentions this. And I'm going to give you those verses, but I just wanted to point that out, is that he's repeating this over and over and over again, to the point where you're going, okay. Oh, you must be really trying to get me to find out what this means. I can't tell you how many services I have sat in where a preacher would get up there in the pulpit and he sees that the congregation isn't paying very much attention. So he says, "And he's the Alpha and he's the Omega." And so everybody wakes up and go, "Oh yeah, amen. Yes." But he doesn't say who he is, what that means. Yeah. He just goes on. He goes on with his spiel and puts everybody back to sleep again. So it's just like, you know, what do you mean he's the Alpha and the Omega? What does this mean to me? How do I apply this to me? I don't understand. And so that's what I hope that we're going to get from these two services, that we get to break this down. So four times. Now, we just saw there in verse 8, but also in verse 11, he says it again. "I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last." Then again in verse 17, he says, "Fear not. I am the first and the last." And then in verse 18, he says, "I am he who lives and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore." And of course, this last verse speaks to his incarnation, his death, and his resurrection, with life eternal now made available to mankind. And I'm reminded of what he told Martha whenever he was getting ready to raise Lazarus from the dead there in John chapter 11. He says, "Martha, I am the resurrection." You know, you don't need to be worried about this. I am the resurrection. And it's very interesting that he also uses a phrase right in front of that by saying, "I am." And that always reminds me of what God said to Moses whenever he went up there and saw the fiery bush and God sending Moses back to Egypt to set his lead his people out of bondage. And Moses said, "Well, who do I say sent me?" And of course God says, "I am that I am. You tell them that the I am sent you." And of course, I'm not doing it as well as Cecil B. DeMille did in with Charlton Heston, but you know, it's more like I am that I am. But anyway, was that okay? All right. But I'm reminded of that, and every time that God does that, though, it causes a reaction. And I love it whenever they came for Jesus in the garden. They came to take him away. And he asked them, he said, who did you come for? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. And he said, I am he. And they fell back. They fell down. And I believe it's because he said, I am. And so there's power in the fact that God is, always was, and always will be. He is God. And so that's pretty much what he's declaring to us right there. So anyway, we also see this in chapter 2 in verse 8. He says, these things says the first and the last, who was dead and came to life. And then in Revelation 21 verse 6, and he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And this is, now we're at the end of the book. And in chapter 22 verse 13, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. And so he opens the book with I am the Alpha and the Omega. He closes the book with I am the Alpha and the Omega. This is so vitally important to us. We also see that this is found in Isaiah chapter 41 verse 4, Isaiah 44 verse 6, and Isaiah 48 verse 12. So like I said, it's always a good rule to follow that when the Lord is repeating something that much, and he's stressing a point to us, and he's encouraging us that we need to dig further and find out what is this all about. So let's go ahead and do some digging. So we saw there that this is the revelation of Jesus Christ. We saw that he is the Alpha and the Omega. So Jesus is revealing that he is the beginning of everything in the word Alpha. Okay? So everything starts with Jesus. Nothing was started without him. We see in Psalm 90 verse 2, it says, he is from everlasting to everlasting. In Micah chapter 5 verse 2, it says, whose going forth hath been from old, from everlasting. Now here's an interesting thing I think she's going to put up there about the Hebrew word, which is he is the Aleph and he is the Tav. The Aleph is the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet and Tav is the last letter. And of course you read this from right to left, so the Aleph is there and the Tav is there. You're going to see something very interesting in a moment that we'll show you about the Tav especially. But the Alpha is depicting the Lamb and it's depicting the Creator, okay? Because he's the beginning of everything. He is the one, in the word Aleph in the Hebrew actually means to make whole or to make complete, okay? And it's the word is oneness or wholeness. And of course, Alpha is the first letter of the Greek alphabet, which means beginning or first. So one of my favorite series of verses is found also in the book of the Gospel of John, where he opens up and he says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, the same was in the beginning with God, all things were made by him, and without him was nothing made that was made. So in the beginning, Jesus was already there. And in fact, it says, in the beginning was the Word. In other words, the Word was in the beginning. Okay? And so when everything started getting created, the Word already was. And so he was already there. He the first time Jesus saw the earth or came to the earth was not in a little manger. You know, he was actually there at creation. And he was very much a part of creation. And we see in verses 14 and 17 where it becomes clear who's John talking about. Because he says, in the beginning the Word was, but then he also said, and the Word became flesh, and we beheld him as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. You know, and we beheld him. And so, Hebrews 1, verse 2 and through 3 says, let me give you a little backdrop on that. He says that in times past, he's spoken to us through the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. Who did? The Son, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins and sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. And so Jesus, the Word, was personally involved in creation. He was there. And not only was he personally involved in all of creation, but he's involved in the created things even to this very day. And I think we actually get into that in a little bit. I'm going to peruse a little bit ahead because I want to say something and I'm afraid that I'm actually going to get ahead of myself. Well, I don't see it, so I guess I'll go ahead and do it. And then if I see it again, you can just say, oh, well, he's getting old. But anyway, I love this part where it says, and he upholds everything by the word of his power. In other words, what is he saying here? He's saying that everything that was created is remaining because of the power of his word. Okay? And the same word that created everything is the same word that's keeping the planets in their orbits just exactly perfectly where they need to be. Every planet, you know, Jupiter has to be where it is in order for the Earth to be where it is and is functioning properly in the solar system. It's like a counterweight. All the different planets that are in our solar system act as counterweights, and we're all going around the sun in our orbits, in different orbits even, but it's like a counterweight. And all of them are there perfectly. If we were 1 degree off either way, we would either freeze completely or we would burn up completely. But God placed this planet in just the exact spot in its orbit, and it's being held there by the Word of God. The same Word that created this planet is holding this planet right where it needs to be. And so here's the deal. Global warming, should we be worried? No, the Word of God is holding this planet exactly where it needs to be. And it'll burn up eventually one day, but not because of global warming. There is global warming coming. I believe in global warming. Boy, is it going to be, it's going to be a flash fire is what it's going to be. But the Word of God, and guess what that means to us? That means we're being held together by the same word. If you're under attack physically, you can say, Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for breathing upon me your word. You remember when he created Adam? What did it say? He created him out of the dust of the earth, and he went, and he became a living soul. He's, whoo, you know, he became a living soul because God breathed into him. And I believe that God's breath is on his word, just the same as your breath is on the words that you speak. God's breath is on his words. And, this is just the way I see things, okay? So forgive me if I'm sounding a little bit weird, but this is just the way I see it. I believe that his breath is on his word. So I say, Father, I thank you for your breath upon your word and upon me. Breathe into me, Lord, and heal this broken body and renew this crazy mind. You know, cause your word to overtake any stupid thoughts that want to exalt themselves against the knowledge of my God. Cast down those imaginations that exalt themselves. Crush them, Lord, to powder. I envision that the vision that Nebuchadnezzar had, that Daniel interpreted, and at the end of that vision of that great statue, what happens? There's this great stone that's coming out of heaven, and it crushes the feet of that statue, and the whole thing just is crushed. And it says, and it becomes this great and mighty nation, you know, because that stone is Jesus. Hallelujah. That he's going to crush the governments of the world. He's going to crush everything. And I just pray, Lord, go ahead and just crush everything that's contrary to you that's in me. You know, crush every rebellion. Anything that's rebellious, every thought, just go ahead and crush it, Lord. I give you permission. I don't want any idols, you know. Maybe I'm being radical about it, but I think you got to be radical. This is a crazy world we're in. There's a lot of crazy influences that are out there, and you know, and there's stuff that's being put in front of us all every day. And so what do we need? The Word of God. You know, what do you do whenever you are being afflicted? You got, say the flu is going around. What do? You double up on your doses of vitamin C and various things to do what? To build up your immune system, right? Well, I recommend that in these times that we're living in, that you double up on your doses of the Word of God.
Amen.
And your prayer life. Double up on it. In fact, triple. You know, go ahead and OD. Just OD on the Word of God. That's what you need to do. Amen. Hallelujah. I sincerely believe that. Psalm 33, verse 6. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made. Genesis 1, 26. Let us make man in our image. Of course, we know that that means Father, Son, Holy Spirit. They were there in the creation of man. To me, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 9. To me, who am less than all the saints, this grace was given that I should preach among the Gentiles. Paul's talking here, obviously. He says that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ and to make all see what is the fellowship of this mystery, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ. He said, I am the Alpha. And so he indeed is. All things were created by him. Hebrews 11:3, the worlds were made by the word of God. Colossians 1:16 through 17, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. So in other words, even the angels were created by Jesus. And even the fallen ones were created by Jesus. So he was involved in all of that. And all things consist, they continue. There it is again, he made all things, and all things remain by him. This will be extremely important as we complete the study when we get into the last part, which will be next week. So why were we created? You ever ask that question? I know I have many times in my life. Lord, why am I here? What is this all about? You know, why me? You know, and what am I doing? What am I doing with my life? Why am I here? And I think we all kind of have those kinds of questions. What are we here for? Well, there was something that we just saw there in Colossians that, you know, it caught my attention. And then there's some more that I'm going to show you in a second. But it says, and all things were created by him. And then it goes on. It didn't just stop there. He could have stopped there and went on to say, and all things consist by him. But he says, and for him. That's an interesting statement. And for him. So Ephesians 5:27. Tells us, one of my favorite verses, that he washes us in the water of his word, and then it goes on to say that he might present the church, her, to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be, that she should be holy and without blemish. What's he saying? That he would present her to himself. So this is for him. He's washing the church in his word to present her to himself. He's talking about fellowship. He's talking about being able to have an embrace of fellowship between him and his church. So he knows he needs to wash us in his word so that there then can be this embrace, that he can present us and gather us together to himself and embrace us. Ephesians 1 verses 17 and 18 says, and that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you might know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Have you ever seen it that way? That this is not about you and your inheritance as much as it is about his inheritance. You are his inheritance. He looks at you as an inheritance that he's going to get. And he's looking forward to it. You think you're looking forward to the rapture? He's looking forward more to it more than you are. Because he knows more about what it's all about, what it means. You know, we just know a tiny portion. And what little bit we know, we get all excited about, and we preachers get up here and we try to preach about it and everything, but we still don't know anything. You know, we just know a little tiny dot of what God really knows about it. You know, and that's why it's so much fun. We can preach this over and over and over and over again. And we still get more. Why? Because God's wisdom is so, it's unfathomable. We can't map it all out. We can't know it all. And so if you ever have a preacher that acts like he knows it all, you don't know anything, you know. So, but anyway, look at verse 5 of chapter 1. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure. Oh, this is nice. The good pleasure of his will. Isn't that awesome? To himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Sometimes we get caught up in how all this works out for us. But in reality, all things were made by him and for him. And therefore, it is truly all about him. It truly is. And that's what's really exciting. Revelation 4:11. Worthy are you, O Lord God, to receive the glory and the honor and dominion, for you created all things by your will, and for your pleasure they were created. So all of this creation and everything that's here, including us, is for his pleasure. So what is his pleasure? God wants a family. Aren't you glad that God wants a family? If he just wanted everybody just to worship him and admire him, he could have just had us all as, you know, robots and that sort of thing, and we just go, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, you know. But he wants a family. He wants to have family. And so Jesus came, when Jesus came to as a man, one of the first things that he did was that he presented God, the God of Jehovah, the God of Israel. He presented to them that he's more than just your God. He's more than just Jehovah Jireh or Jehovah Yireh, I guess is the way they pronounce it in Hebrew. He said that he's more than these things. He's more than just your healer. He is your father. As he taught them in Matthew chapter 6, he teaches them. He said, Lord, teach us how to pray. And how did he start out? He said, our Father, which art in heaven, holy is your name. Hallowed to be worshipped is your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done in earth even as it is in heaven. And he goes on. But he starts off saying, our Father. So he's introducing them to the fact that he's your Father. You know, Abba, Father, God. You know, you're our Father. And of course, we see that also in Luke chapter 11 and John chapter 14, verse 3 says, and if I go, and this is one of my favorites as well, I got a lot of favorites, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. He said, this is when he was telling his disciples, listen, guys, I'm getting ready to go back to the Father. And he says, so I got to go. And of course, they're all, you know, getting a little bit sad about that and confused. And he says, but listen, if I go and I prepare a place for you in my Father's house, I will come again and I will receive you to myself. You know, there's that to me, to myself, that where I am there, you may be also. He says, I'm going to the Father. So now you're knowing where I'm going to be for a while. I'm going to be with the Father. Well, I don't want to leave it that way. I want to come back and I want to get you and let's gather you up and let's go. And I want you to see and embrace Daddy. I want you to embrace our Father. You know, I want you to be able to be in his presence. And so the only way we can be in the presence of Father God is through redemption, because, you know, if anyone that sees God will die, they'll just dissolve. He's just so glorious. He's just too glorious for us to be in his presence. So Jesus had to step into an earth suit, you know, and come into this world. And so that he could, you know, take that earth suit to the cross and shed his blood. And now he's opened up the door for us now to be able to go into the presence of a holy, 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 holy God. And not dissolve instantly. So, what a beautiful thing that God so loved us that he didn't want to be separated from us. He wanted a way to be able to bring us back to Him, where we can still have holy fellowship with Him without any controversy and without all of us just dissolving in His presence. He's just that holy. It's almost like somebody that's just, you know, so radioactive that if you got near them, you would just melt, you know. Well, I'm not saying God's radioactive, but He's just so holy. And you would melt. But Jesus made a way for us not to melt. Hallelujah. Turn to your neighbor and say, you're not going to melt. He's a good Father. And His desire, His pleasure, is to include us in His wonderful plan of love. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 4, as His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. He's given us everything that pertains to life, to this life, and to living godly. Through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue or power, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Now, how many are very familiar with the corruption that's in this world through lust? We're all really familiar with that. But are you familiar with being a partaker of His divine nature? How familiar are you with that? Jesus has given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, and He has made us to be partakers of His divine nature. That's an amazing thing. I think sometimes, and it is a truth that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All need to call upon Jesus and to receive the payment that He paid for us. But He did pay it for us indeed. And we are redeemed. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul says that as many as are in Christ, they are new creatures. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are new. And all things are of God. That's an amazing statement. And that kind of blows us away. We don't really know what to do with that. How is that possible? But it's the truth. He's done that for us and in us and with us. And do we need to know that there's still, in this stupid flesh that we're still dealing with, that there is sinful things that seem to scream out at us? We can't deny that. We can't stick our head in the sand and say, it's not there, it's not there, it's not there, it's not there. Oh, it's still there. Oh, well, you know, it doesn't work to do that. But, you know, I like what Paul said in Romans chapter 6 and 7. He gets so frustrated because in his heart, in his spirit, man, he loves God and he wants to serve God. But he finds that there's these two things that are working against each other, and that is this flesh and that born-again spirit. And he says, oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me? But he goes on to say, I thank God it's Jesus. He delivers me. And then he goes on to chapter 8, verse 1, and he says, there is therefore now, not tomorrow, not when Jesus comes, now, no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who follow not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Why? Because the law of the Spirit of life in Christ has made us free from the law of sin and death that's still in this. Yes, it's there, but there's a higher law that's in us, and it's the law of the Spirit of life in Christ. That's what's in us. Hallelujah. And that's what Peter is telling us here. We are made partakers of His divine nature. If Jesus is at the center of our lives, He will uphold our lives in the same way He upholds the universe. And our destiny is to have our lives filled with His perfect plan. He has paid the penalty for all our sins, past, present, and future. His very breath is on each and every word that He speaks into us and has spoken to us through His word. His DNA is in every word. He has spoken His word into your life. 1 Peter 1:23 says, having been born again, not of corruptible seed that can pass away, but an incorruptible seed through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. So we are born again through the incorruptible seed, the word of God, which does not fade or die or corrupt. Romans 8:28 says, we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and to those who are the called according to His purpose. Again, His purpose, His plan, His pleasure. For whom He foreknew, He also predestined, infused His DNA to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that He who has begun a good work in you, He will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. He's still working in you. The Word of God is still working in you. It's still doing exactly what He had planned for it to do in you. I think, what is it, Isaiah 55, I believe it is, he said, even as the snow falls from heaven and the rain and waters the earth and doesn't return thither, he says, I'm doing King James now, but he says, so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth, it shall accomplish the thing that I sent it to do. You know, it shall not return to me, void, yes, thank you. Thank you for helping me. I stumbled just so you could participate. That's what it was. But isn't that powerful? It's just wonderful to know God's word is alive. God's word is incorruptible, and He sent His word into you. And His word still working in you, amen. His good pleasure for what He is about to do in bringing the whole family of God together. Hallelujah. Amen. His will be done. He is the Alpha and the Omega concerning you. Christ in you, the hope of glory, Colossians 1:27. To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And then Colossians 1:17, and He Himself existed before all things, and in Him all things consist. They cohere, they're held together. That word consist means to cohere and hold together. You could say the word holds together with Him, holds us together with Him, like laminin holds together the DNA strands of the human body. This is interesting. Have you ever seen this? That's laminin. Laminin is the protein found in our DNA. This protein's purpose is to hold everything together, i.e. cells, DNA, everything. Even more astounding is that laminin appears to resemble what?
Cross.
The cross. You think that's an accident? Not at all. It could be said that our DNA was designed with redemption in mind. Hallelujah. So we actually have, that's an actual microscopic photo of it there. So, 1 John 3, verses 1 through 3. What a beautiful series of statements that John makes here. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called the children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us, because it didn't know Him. Beloved, now we are the children of God. And it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. So I'm going to give you the last part, but just pause for a second. So when we see Him, we're going to be like Him. We're going to, His DNA is being imparted to us through His Word. Hallelujah. We'll be like Him. And of course, we know that's part, a lot of it's going to be because we're going to get rid of these things and we're going to get a new body, right? So there will be no controversy at all when that happens. There'll be, you won't be wrestling with stupid, wicked thoughts running through your head. And then the enemy saying, well, you call yourself a Christian, you know, and try and put condemnation on you just because he whispered, he's the one that whispered the stupid thought in the first place, you know? He pulls that on all of us, doesn't he? But notice what it says at the end there. And everyone who has this hope in Him purifies himself, just as He is pure. There is something very purifying about hoping for what is getting ready to happen for us. You know, it actually works in it. Everything that God gives us works in us, His perfect plan. It's all there to help us. And because we can't do it, You know, we just can't. We can't do it. But he's given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. He has done that. And so everything that he has in his word, in prayer, in worship, all of this works together to bring about his perfect plan. It bears repeating, the Lord upholds our lives in the same way he upholds the universe. And our destiny is to have our lives filled with his perfect plan. And so as Alpha, he is the beginning of everything, but he's also the one that upholds everything. And he's keeping everything exactly the way that it needs. Everything is right on time. Everything's right on course. It's all happening exactly the way that he planned that it would. Even all of the weirdness we have going on in our world today is right on time, and it's exactly according to plan. And though we're seeing the markets crashing and the banks are closing and all these different things, it's right on time and it's all according to plan. And man thinks it's according to their plan. They think that they're the ones that they came up with this great little plan. And it's like, and as the scripture says in Psalm 2, he that sits in the heavens laughs. You know, he's just sitting there laughing and saying, you silly people, you know. This is not according to your plan, you know. Yeah, I am omnipresent. I'm omniscient. I'm all knowing. I am that I am. And so you're just a part of it. You know, you're just playing a role. But this is my doing. Even when the Antichrist comes on the scene, he thinks he's Mr. Fix-It. He thinks he's going to fix all the world's problems and everybody's going to just worship him, and they will for a short little window of time. But all that comes to an end. And all the kingdoms of the world just go, as the kingdom of God comes down and crushes it all and says, now, here, this is the kingdom of God. And so, anyway, we'll get to Omega. I gave you a little spoiler alert with that statement I just made. The Omega, he's coming back as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And so that's what we're going to be doing next week. So, amen. I hope you got something out of it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father. Oh, Lord. I don't even have words to express how I feel right now. But, Lord, I'm so thankful for who you are and what you are saying to us and what you're doing in us. And, Lord, we're just a small little group of people in a small little block building, and it seems like in a small little Sanford, Florida. We're not Orlando. We're not Disney World. You know, we're not some big megatropolis. But, Lord, you take little things. You take a grain of mustard seed, and you breathe upon it, and boom, it's become something glorious, something that only you could do. So thank you, Lord, for taking simple, I'll say it for me, a simple guy like me, and planting your seed in that simplicity, and planting seeds in all of us, Lord, and just causing your will to be done. Thank you for creating all that you created. Thank you for continuing to uphold everything by your same word. Thank you for speaking your word into our spirit, that we don't go out of here with just a lot of information, but rather that we go out of here being changed in some way. That some way, as Philippians 1:6 told us, that you that began that good work in us, that some way that work is continuing on because of the message we heard today. That you're stirring some things in us. Help us, Lord, to open our hearts even more to you, and help us to seek you with a more fervent desire and a greater fervent love for you. May we love you may our love for you just be fanned. May the fan the flames, Lord, and cause our love for you to be greater than it even was at the very first, when we first met you and we were so excited that we wanted to tell everybody about Jesus. Lord, would you fan those flames, and would you stir our hearts and send us forth into our world, wherever we are going today, and wherever we live and wherever we shop. Lord, may we be truly a light that shines in the darkness. In Yeshua's mighty name, amen. God bless you. Thank you.